Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this Saturday morning, February 6th, 2021. Hoping you're safe, hoping you survived the snowstorm, keeping warm, keeping cozy, and having a great weekend so far. And so glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. You can hear each show online live at wliw.org/radio. And each show is archived on annliguori.com, so you can listen at your leisure. And every show is distributed on podcast, Audio Boom, and iTunes. Well, it's Super Bowl weekend. Are you pumped? And even if you're not a Tom Brady fan, you have to appreciate what the 43-year-old quarterback has accomplished. He's such an extraordinary athlete and just so mentally tough. He just set his sights on bringing Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl when he first arrived in Tampa, and even way before that, before he even made the decision to go to Tampa. I'm sure that he analyzed all the scenarios there, all the possibilities. He would never have joined the team, in my opinion, if he didn't think he would have the protection and the players to accomplish his goal of getting the team to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's really remarkable because that's exactly what he did. He was able to achieve that, leading the Bucks to their second Super Bowl appearance in franchise history, their first in 18 years, and at Raymond James Stadium, right in Tampa, no less. It's actually the first time in NFL history that a team will play in a Super Bowl hosted at their home stadium. It was just so great the way it all worked out. And I'm sure Tom Brady just had planned it from the very beginning. I mean, obviously, you cannot guarantee, you know, winning every week and getting to the point where you're going to win in the playoffs and qualify for the big game. But you know that's what Tom Brady visualized. That's what he had planned for. That's what he had prepared for. And he led the team to that achievement. And to that, I just think it's incredible. Now, will they win the Super Bowl? Well, they'll have to be able to defeat the defending champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, led by the much younger Patrick Mahomes. Well, the Bucs will have to deal with the league's most explosive offense with Mahomes and company. Tampa Bay went 11-5 in the regular season. The Bucs and the Chiefs did play each other this season back on November 29th, and the Chiefs won that game by 3, 27-24. So you know the matchup will be quite competitive. I'm going to stick with Tom Brady and the Bucs. I think Tom Brady's longtime experience in the Super Bowl will pay off. And with the help of the Bucs' superlative defense, I will pick the Bucs to pull it out in what should be another close contest. Tom Brady looks to win his 7th Super Bowl in his NFL record 10th Super Bowl appearance. And Mahomes is looking to go back-to-back as the youngest quarterback to ever appear in consecutive Super Bowls. So fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be an exciting ride. Kickoff is on Sunday at 6:30 Eastern on CBS. Well, this morning, in honor of the big game, I will replay a classic sports interview that I had the pleasure of doing with the great Deacon Jones back in the 90s, who was one of the greatest defensive players in the game. Deacon Jones was a defensive end. He played for the Rams. He played for the Chargers. He played for the Washington Redskins. His career spanning 1961 to 1974. He was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame back in 1980. Jones specialized in sacking quarterbacks. In fact, he coined the term sack. The Rams head coach at the time, George Allen, called Deacon Jones the greatest defensive end of modern football. I hope you will enjoy hearing what Deacon Jones had to say about his career and about the defensive part of football. Deacon Jones passed away back in 2013 at the age of 74, but he will long be remembered for being a most intimidating presence on the field, but just a lamb of a guy, so sweet off the field. The Bucs defense will need to be as strong as the defense that Deacon Jones brought to his work on the field every week to win the Super Bowl on Sunday. And in the first half of the show, we continue our series on CBD with Aaron Meager, my guest, the CEO of Beneficial Blends and the manufacturer of Chillaxin CBD, February is Heart Health Month. We have to take care of our hearts. And Erin will educate us about the correlation between CBD, CBD oils, and a healthy heart. Sports Interview with Anna Gore is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, and Patent Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com, and by Dune Jewelry and the Hamptons Robe Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. DuneJewelry.com, D-U-N-E, Jewelry.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori and my guest, Erin Meagher, CEO of Beneficial Blends, returns to the show. Welcome, Erin. How are you?
Hi, Anne. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good to have you on again. And Beneficial Blends is an organic food manufacturer that specializes in private labeling, co-packing, sourcing, and consulting. And the company recently started manufacturing CBD products.
Yes, we did. I'm really excited about our Chillaxin line of CBD products.
Well, I'm excited too, because the variety is unbelievable. And before we get into more details about that, I understand that Chillaxin was a sponsor of the recent Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions featuring LPGA champions with celebrities. That must have been really exciting.
It was. So, you know, we're based down here in Tampa, Florida, and that the event was up in Orlando last week, and we went. It was a gorgeous day. We couldn't have asked for better weather. It was a little bit different this year because they weren't allowing all of the spectators in, but as a sponsor, it was still a lot of fun to attend and watch all the celebrities and LPGA ladies enjoy the CBD that we brought to them.
I think that's great. It was a gorgeous week of weather, and talk about excitement. You had the LPGA players with the celebrities from the worlds of music and sports. And it's a great concept for a tournament. And I know a number of caddies and VIPs had the opportunity to experience Chillaxin and CBD products. What was their feedback?
Yeah, they were so grateful and they really enjoyed it. I mean, there were people there like Justin Bertoldi, who's a fiddle player and not a full-time caddy. So he didn't know what a tough job it was to be a caddy. And we showed him how, you know, CBD could help him in that experience. You know, walking the course, carrying the clubs. It's a lot of, you know, physical activity, and you can be sore the next day.
Well, definitely. I know caddies, a lot of people take caddies for granted, but, you know, have you ever tried picking up one of those huge golf bags? They're heavy. And then walking 18 holes with the golf bag and navigating, you know, the terrain, and then directing the player as to what club they should be using. And, you know, depending on the weather, it can be really, really tough work. So what was the feedback from the caddies?
So actually we were at one green, and this caddy ran off the course, and he saw my shirt that said Chillaxin CBD. He's like, "You've got CBD." And he like took a bottle from us and downed it right there. He's like, "This stuff is awesome." And then he was off to the next hole. but he really loved it, as well as so many other ones. You know, golfers and caddies feel the benefits as a recovery agent to alleviate the soreness and tension from, you know, putting, also inflammation and wear and tear on the body. CBD is really good for that. And, you know, all the caddies there were so excited to try all the different Chillaxin products. And it even helps with mood. So you talked about trying to direct the players in, you know, what club should they use, where should they shoot it, you know, making those tough decisions. You know, when you're relaxed, sometimes things flow a little bit easier, and you're a little bit better out there on the greens.
Absolutely. I mean, of all the people who would really be knowledgeable about, you know, the benefits of CBD, I would think caddies really understand it. Did you feel that?
Oh, they definitely did. It was real easy talking to them about it because they've heard the benefits of CBD before. They may have tried it before, and they, you know, like we have fun flavors like cherry and lemon lime, and so they are able to really embrace this new format and flavors that we're bringing to them.
I have to say, I've been playing golf for a long time, and I don't think I've ever carried my bag. It's too heavy. So I give caddies a lot of respect because you have to be very strong, have a lot of stamina, and you get sore. You know, the shoulders hurt from carrying, you know, the strap and the bag, and then you're walking a lot. And not just during practice, but obviously during the tournament. So a lot of, you know, you put in a lot of miles when you're walking a golf course. So, and there's a lot of pressure on these caddies as well. So I'm glad that they were able to connect with Chillaxin at this tournament. And who else were you able to meet at the tournament?
Oh, well, it was great. We were able to see Gabby Lopez and returning champ Annika Sorenstam tee off. Ooh. That was fun. But my personal favorite is Larry Fitzgerald of the Cardinals. He's always just been like one of my favorite players. And so he was there, you know.
Great NFL receiver, Larry Fitzgerald.
His big, great smile hidden behind his mask, but, you know, it's all right. Brian Baumgartner, Kevin from The Office.
He was there?
Yeah, he did it. He did a great job.
I can't
imagine
him playing golf. I loved his character in The Office.
Oh, he looked like a pro out there. He was really good. And then like country music stars, Cole Swindle, Lee Bryce, Toby Keith. There was definitely an all-star cast out there.
Yeah, and I heard that Colt Ford was there. And, you know, it's interesting because I see him at a lot of these tournaments. And he used to be a professional golfer, Colt Ford. And he's like this, I don't know, this, he fuses country music with hip hop and rap. That must have been fun to meet Colt Ford.
Yes, it was. I had to be introduced. I didn't know exactly who he was, I have to admit. That's terrible. But
well, I would think that with the mask, it's also kind of hard to recognize people because you're only seeing from really the eyes up. So that's kind of a crazy scenario. But we're glad that the tournaments are still going on and that these golfers and caddies are out there and they were sampling Chillaxin. I love it. Do you find that, you know, they are really knowledgeable about the benefits of CBD? I mean, not only the caddies, but, you know, a lot of the celebrities and some of the players.
Yeah, they know about it. They know about, you know, the benefits to, like we talked about, the inflammation of your body. They know about just relaxing, enjoying. Like we like to say, when you go on vacation, those first moments that you're on vacation, that's the feeling that you get, that release of stress and worries and troubles. And when you take CBD, you know, you get that same benefit.
I wouldn't know one person who wouldn't jump at that opportunity. Well, let's talk about February being Heart Health Month. And, you know, I was doing some reading about that. And I learned that it's a tradition which started back in 1964 by President Lyndon B. Johnson, 9 years after he actually suffered a heart attack. And, you know, I know you can't really talk enough about the importance of heart health. More than 1 in 10 Americans have been diagnosed with heart disease, which is just a crazy number percentage. So obviously eating the right foods is very important. It can lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and including coronary artery disease, which can lead to heart attack and stroke. So talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of eating right for your heart and the relationship between beneficial blends and health.
Right. So I actually founded the company 11 years ago, a little over 11 years ago, all around what we put in our body directly affects our health, and especially, you know, heart health. And so one of the main things we started with back then was coconut oil, and how coconut oil was this great product that could help with brain health, heart health, and your metabolism. And so, you know, coconut oil is one of those good fats that you can eat that's actually going to help your cholesterol ratio. So the HDL is your good cholesterol level. So it's going to have a higher good HDL number compared to your lower LDL number. So that's really great, of coconut oil. And yeah, it just struck me that, yeah, Americans, we have all these problems with heart, brain, and our weight. Like, those are the biggest three things we suffer with. Why can't we be eating foods that are actively helping our overall health?
Yeah, I know that Beneficial Blends has been specializing in, you know, these edible oils and fats, and that coconut oil is just one of your best sellers. It's just almost like this miracle oil. I mean, the more I learn about it through you, the more it just impressive it is. I have to start really eating more of it or using more of it.
Yeah. So again, we like this concept of tangible benefits around the things that you're eating, and coconut oil definitely has one of those. Coconut oil is great for your brain health. Your brain can use coconut oil as an energy. It turns it into ketones, and your brain uses that. And so your brain can only use glucose or ketones. And so it's great for people who may suffer from some, you know, memory problems. I think we all do. You know, it's hard to keep track of everything. But the coconut oil, it gets turned into ketones, which your body uses as a source of energy. Your brain uses it. And as well as metabolism, coconut oil, your body uses it right away. It doesn't store it as a fat later. So you can, a lot of athletes use it before races. I know Apollo Ohno used it a lot when before his skating races. So definitely see tangible benefits of using a good edible oil such as coconut oil.
I know that Beneficial Blends, obviously we were talking about this earlier, recently got into the CBD space with Chillaxin, manufacturing a variety of CBD products. What are the benefits of CBD as it relates to heart health, Erin?
Sure. So according to Healthline, high blood pressure is a leading risk for, you know, hypertension, heart disease, and your blood pressure can rise under stress. I am very guilty of it myself. I have three young kids, the company, there's a lot of stress in my daily life. And so I really enjoy using CBD as a way that can help lessen that, getting my blood pressure up, causing those spikes. And I think that's really important for everybody to understand, you know, take a breath, you know, use something that's going to help you come back down and get back to even.
When you're talking about you're using the CBD, what are some of the products from the Chillaxin line that you use?
So I use the beverage enhancers. So I like to put that in my water. So that gives it a great flavor, like the cherry beverage enhancer. It's so good. And so I can drink on that throughout the day, which, you know, gives me those little doses. And then the other thing that I am in love with are our candles. Like, I just can't say enough about these candles. I have them in my office, at my house. It makes the room smell so good. And again, helps me de-stress, declutter my mind, you know, come back to center when I have these candles lit in the rooms.
Can you talk about the correlation between oils and CBD?
Sure. So CBD is an oil, but you also need a carrier oil with it. And so it's really important to pick a carrier oil that helps improve the bioavailability of CBD. So that's how your body would consume the CBD and use it. And so we like to use oils like coconut that we talked about, and MCT and hemp seed oil when you mix it with your CBD oil.
And so what oils are used in the manufacturing of CBD? You just said the hemp seed oils, and do you have a variety that you can choose from, right?
Right. So there's a little bit of a difference between them, but coconut, MCT, and hemp seed are definitely our most popular oils that we use with the CBD. We talked about, you know, the benefits of coconut oil. MCT oil is a more stripped down coconut oil. That's just your medium chain triglycerides. And when you mix it with CBD, it makes a wonderful pairing because your body kind of latches on to those medium chain triglycerides and uses that energy immediately. So you get that CBD much quicker than using another carrier oil. And then hemp seed oil is the third one that we really like to use. So hemp seed oil is not the same thing as CBD oil. It's actually made from the seeds of the plant. But when you use this and you pair it with CBD oil, you're going to get what they call the entourage effect, because you're using more parts of the plant, a whole plant experience. So you get all of those key benefits from the hemp plant, because you're using the seeds and you're also using the oil that comes from the plant. So that's really nice to pair those two together as well.
So how do you decide which oils to use? And can you said you can pair them together. So when you're making the chillaxin products, which ones do you pair together?
So we do use all three, and it really depends what the format is. So I talked about the beverage enhancers a little bit. When you're using those, you want something that's going to be better for water solubility, because when you put CBD in your water, obviously it's an oil. So we make emulsions with like MCT oil that's always liquid. It's not going to solidify. That would be in a beverage, where something like the hemp seed oil might be in the candles, because again, it's sending out more of that full flavor entourage effect by having the whole plant in those candles. So, you know, we have a on-site R&D lab where we do all of these things and go through and test and do third-party testing to make sure that we're getting like the best, highest quality products in the chillaxin CBD brand.
So are CBD products only made with then CBD oil or...
Well, so CBD is one type of cannabinoid. You can have all different types of cannabinoids, like CBDN is a popular one that people may hear about now. And so the different cannabinoids may have a little bit of a different effect, like CBN may help a little bit more with sleep than some others. But again, when you go back to that entourage effect, you're getting the CBDs, the CBNs, the CBGs, like you're getting all of it together. So a lot of people, when they hear CBD now, they think it's all of them, and they don't understand that CBD on its own is one cannabinoid. And I think that's an education process with everybody understanding what they're getting and where they're getting it from, who's producing these products, so they understand that.
Sure. I mean, there's so much involved. And, you know, you actually immersed yourself in this, you know, to be able to manufacture chillaxin. What else can you tell us about chillaxin CBD?
Well, chillaxin CBD is made from USA farmed hemp, and it helps you, you know, live this chillaxin lifestyle that we live down here in Florida. Like, it relaxes us throughout our daily lives. It promotes the mindfulness and overall feeling good. You know, and we talked about if you have that active lifestyle, helping with your tension and soreness, relieving you from the inside out. So, you know, chillaxin, it's great. We have so many different things you can try. I didn't even mention the roll-on creams, which are great for your knees or back or that, you know, shoulder after carrying the golf bag all day long. But we definitely have a lot of good stuff. And actually, we're offering 50% off on first-time purchases with the code CHILLNOW on our website, which is chillaxin.com.
I love it. I just think, you know, especially for caddies and golfers, that roll-on product, you just throw it in your golf bag and it, you know, you put it on your shoulders or your legs and you know, it's just so convenient. So I like the variety, as I mentioned before. Again, the chillaxin CBD benefits include: it tastes great, fast feel-good relief, it fuels the brain and energy, assists in active recoveries, helps fight inflammation, cooling, soothing, long-lasting relief. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I just think that it has such a great place with athletes and with golfers. And I'm so thrilled that chillaxin was, you know, able to be a part of the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. That's a great opportunity. And I'm so glad the feedback was just terrific, Erin. It's good to hear.
Yeah. And we look forward to being able to get back out there when everyone can come out and enjoy it again, when we finally, you know, turn the corner on COVID. So that will be exciting when everyone can participate next year.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining me again. Erin Meagher, CEO, Beneficial Blends and Chillaxin CBD.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, and patented Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, peakvision.com, and by Dune Jewelry and the Hamptons Robe Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. DuneJewelry.com, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com.
Hi, I'm Anne Liguori, and my guest, Hall of Fame defensive lineman, Deacon Jones. And you're styling. You are styling. Look at this shirt.
Well, I've got some good friends, you know.
Showing a little chest, too.
My wife makes this stuff. You know, she's good. She designs
it. It's gorgeous.
I couldn't dress myself. I don't have that much class.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm a lineman.
Well, okay. So you can discard the class because you guys were tough. The fearsome foursome, right?
Yes, just four are probably the best football players that ever played the game of football.
Just four.
Well, that's all we needed. You know, we thought that we'd spot the enemy, the seven, and let him have seven extra guys.
You had Merlin Olsen.
Yes.
Who's now selling flowers.
Yeah, well.
And doing a little bit of broadcasting.
I won't be held accountable for that part. But, yes, Merlin Olsen was the tackle, and Rosie Greer and
Lamar Lundy. Rosie Greer, he's a preacher now.
Yeah, well, you know, guy got to make a living. I guess he's trying to atone for all the quarterbacks that he killed.
You know? What about you, Mr. Sack?
Well,
you invented the term sack.
Yeah, that was part of my makeup. I live a very quiet life now. I do Ram broadcasting, and you know, that's up and down, and you know how tough that is to do. And I'm reliving those emotional days that I had to deal with in football.
How did you come up with that term, sack?
Sack? Well, you know, when I came into the league, you got to remember, football was nowhere near what it is today as far as publicity is concerned. The game was just probably in its infancy stages, but it was still an old game. But they had just learned how to merchandise and market the game. And they still, at that time, was marketing the receivers and the quarterbacks, the running backs, the hot shots, you know. But what makes this game tick, as you know and I know, is defense. So when I came in, tackling the quarterback, which I did for a living, had no immediate reference to it. So the fan had no tie-in to it, you know. When you hit a quarterback, man, if you hit him wrong, you might get more flack from it during that time than anything else. So we had to come up with something that identified what we did, and that was tackle a quarterback. Now you've got to get a name that will fit into the headline. I mean, it's just like not going in the drawer and picking out a name.
Right.
It's got to be something that the newspaper man will get excited about, and it'll fit in the headline. And so Deacon invented the term sack, and for that reason, I always felt like if you took all the offensive linemen and you put them in a bag, and you gave me a Louisville Slugger and let me beat on the bag. You know, I mean, that's the way my thinking was.
What an imagination.
Yeah, when I played, and that's where the whole foursome's thinking was. We were always looking for ways to take our game to another level and take what we did for a living to another level, because we didn't get publicity then. You know, we're probably one of the first defensive lines that really got publicity. You know, being in Los Angeles helped. But after we got started, you noticed Minnesota Vikings came up with a line with a name, the Dallas Cowboys,
the Purple People Eaters, right. And
so everybody
the
started
steel
to,
curtains.
Yeah, yeah, and it took the game to another level, and it brought out the things to me that was important to the overall development of the game, which is what makes this game really tick, and defense make this game tick.
But all of a sudden, the term sack was born.
Yes.
Who picked it up? Some newspaper guy?
Being a pretty violent player, I got a lot of media coverage, and sack was catchy, and it gave, I think, I'm so proud of the fact that it gave football an identity, because the word is used on every level of football.
117 sacks.
When?
Between 64 and 69.
Yeah, that's true. between
overall,
64.
It was 180.
Right.
I see. You know your stats.
That's right.
Said, wait, wait. Make sure you get the full 180 in there.
As you know, the league did not start officially
until 1982.
Until 1982. I have been punching and pushing this thing for a long time because I don't think it's fair for this to happen. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there who gave a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to this game and did a lot to make this game what it is today. And to just open up a statistic as important as rushing a passer and just forget about the real guys who could rush the passer. I mean, when you look at the numbers, Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor fall fifth and sixth on this list. And I think that need to be brought out because, number one, it inspires the young people that comes into this game to chase the real record, not one that's not the real one. And I'll always be there whether the NFL makes it official or not. My 180 will always be there. And every kid or every person that gets involved in this game in the future will ask, well, why? Deacon Jones played four quarters, didn't he? Deacon Jones played 14 games a season, didn't he? So why is his stats not included with these? Are they false? I mean, so all you do is open up questions if you don't go back and clear the problem up. So that's what my whole thing is right now, is to get the NFL to bring it up. Whether I'm in front or not, doesn't matter, but let's respond to it.
Set the record straight, 180, mm-hmm. And don't forget it.
And don't forget it,
we'll
folks.
Be back with Deacon Jones right after this.
I'll break your nose.
With Deacon Jones, who was a member of that great defensive line of the 60s, the fearsome foursome. And he is here right now, as mellow as can be.
Mellow's a cello.
Just like a lamb. All you guys yeah. were lambs off the field, weren't you?
Well, I tell you, football is a violent sport. I mean, I'd like to follow up on what you just said, because sure, I would like to have been a lamb in my business. I would have liked to have gone home after a hard day at the office and felt, just tired, not beat up and tired, So I realized early in the game that my business was violent. And the more violence that I perpetrate on the opposition, the less I have to accept. So I worked very hard at making their lives miserable as I possibly could.
How did you turn that off when you were finished and went home?
Well, it's not an easy task, because what the problem is when you work all week to prepare for something, and then you go out there and have it happen all the opposite way, and you can't do nothing about it. And then you have to eat that, you have to live with that until you can get back out there, start the work process all over again, and then go to Sunday and try it out again, So you live a life of ups and downs, peaks and valleys.
And waiting for that next game.
And waiting for the next game.
Prove yourself again.
All over again. Whether you played good this week or whether you didn't play good this week, the process starts all over again.
So could you turn it off when you went
home? Yes, I could. You learn that. Well, you don't start this game in the pros. You start this game all the way back to Pop Warner. And then you go through the different stages of this game, and you learn as you go. If you survive those stages, you learn how to deal with the game versus life versus the people around you. It's tough in the beginning.
Is it tougher now with the current atmosphere because of the money and the greed? And it's just, there's more pressure, it seems.
Well, see, money's a numbers game. My point is that money and this game is two separate entities. Okay, now, as far as players are concerned, the quicker they learn to separate the money from the actual performance on the field. Now, I held out 1 year in my whole career, and that was 1968. And I refused to go to camp under any circumstances until we straighten out this. Because once once my uniform goes on my back, I turn into that animal that we talked about. And then I don't think about money no more. All I think about is a quarterback or a halfback.
But it was settled before the season started.
Yes, I have to settle it because I can't go into camp and play half of football.
Right.
You can't get a little bit pregnant.
Sure.
Either you're pregnant or you're not.
Well, the intensity obviously was there.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that if you haven't settled your differences, then you stay home until you settle your differences.
So you agree with that?
Yeah. When the uniform goes on, it ain't about money. It's about my commitment to my teammates, to my fans, and to the game itself. That's a separate issue. See, you cannot ever play this game and get paid enough money for it. You know, everybody gripes about what a football player makes, and he's the last guy on the totem pole. You know, I like to see it, any person, any human being, put their body through what we put our bodies through for the short amount of time. And we spend more time training and preparing for our game and very little time playing it. So if we made $1 million a minute, we'd be underpaid.
Are you hurting now physically?
No, I'm the deacon. You understand? The rest of the boys hurt, but I refuse to hurt.
Forgive
you know?
Me for asking that question.
No, I didn't get any.
I should have known better.
No, really and truly, I didn't get any.
But you went through, obviously, all the pounding, all the grinding, all that physicality had to affect you a little bit.
Yeah, but I was lucky.
I understand that you were thrusting the pain on the opponent. But
I was lucky, you know, and I admit that. I mean, I was lucky. You know, I stayed in real good shape, and my style of play kept me from getting a lot of injuries because, you know, I didn't get no operations. And when you don't get no operations, means you know nothing is removed from your body.
Sure.
When they remove things from your body, you can't grow it back. You understand? And like now, you've got to go on a lifetime training program to always keep that joint solid and sound. You understand what I mean? Well, I was lucky. I didn't get no operations.
I mean, for as physical as you were, as that foursome was, to have no injuries is quite.
Yeah, I had none. I had none. And now all I do is fight my weight. And if I keep that in check, you know, I'm solid as a rock. Now, the wear and tear does bother you, the bumps and the bruises and the hitting and the pounding every down. That is always going to be with you. I mean, my body will never be the same. You know, I hurt on cold days. I hurt when the weather changed. I can tell you better than the weatherman what the weather is going to be like, you know. But that's just from the constant pounding every down, you know. But I know guys who, friends of mine, who had operations, like Jim Otto. He had 9 knee operations. And,
tough.
You know, well, he hurt. He hurt every day of his life.
Oh, yeah.
I do not have a problem with anybody that makes as much money as they possibly can, as much money as the traffic will allow. This game produces a lot of income, okay? Before, during my time, I mean, we did not have the things in place that would dictate that we share in the revenue. I mean, we had to start from scratch forming a player association that protected us on the job, protected us salary-wise, and all the things that go with a union-type representation.
And we'll be back with Deacon Jones right after this. We're back with Deacon Jones, the inventor of the sack. The sack man. What do you think right now when these guys do the sack dance and carry on like they're at a disco? And
to a certain degree, I understand exactly why that is, because you know a lot of owners now have understood, have started to understand, you know, that this is an entertainment business. I mean, you know, I wouldn't do it because number one is because the coaches in my day would not allow me to do it. I would get fined not only by my team but by the league if I did something like that. You know, I got fined for wearing a pair of white shoes, and then Broadway Joe came along, and boom, everybody wore white shoes. You see, but when I stepped out with them in 1964, I got fined. They threatened to kick me out of the Pro Bowl. But see, the point is, things change. I think that any guy who chooses to do this is a form of expressing himself for the good achievement that he's just done. That's what it's about. But I don't find it would fit in my game because it's a waste of energy. They waste a lot of energy. And then you get in some of those pileups when all your teammates come to congratulate you for doing something good, it's some strong blows thrown in there.
The guys today, I know you think, could not compare to the physicality of a fearsome four line like yours or some other defensive lines back in the 60s.
Well, you have to look at this thing two ways. You know, everybody asks guys like me, well, could you play during this era? You know, I go to reverse. I say, could they play during my era? You see, because we were trained, we were more tested tough, I think, because we scrimmaged more against each other. Our training camps were a lot harder. See, so therefore, you're going to produce a lot tougher football player. I mean, we played with more injuries. I mean, we fought off a lot of the hangnail injuries that these guys go to the hospital with. You know, I mean, I wouldn't leave a game because of a concussion. You think I'd leave a game because of a concussion? I got to be completely out of my mind. No, I've never had a concussion. You know, you get in this tight, I'd have been in the hospital years ago if I let you in that tight. But no, I protected myself very well. But we were taught, trained mentally and physically, to withstand pain. And we did not go out for injuries like guys go out with now. But also, you got to understand one thing. They make a lot of money now. You see, a contract now worth $10 million or $20 million. You can't go out there for the love of anybody and risk that type of a contract. See, now we've gotten, you know, through technology and through game development, you know, people now can come in and tell management that you can't play my boy this week, or my boy this week is not gonna go because he's not 100%. Okay, before you didn't have that problem because right. We had no agents.
Plus, you couldn't tell the coaches too much back then.
No,
the coaches
you couldn't tell them nothing. You can and you shouldn't be able to tell a coach nothing now, because you know either you got to have a leader, or you're not gonna win.
But it's tougher now because the players are making so much more than the coach.
Well, we've always made more money than the coach.
But the disparity.
He's just a coach,
really.
But it is a form of leadership.
Yeah, but he's the leader.
Yeah, it's a form of leadership.
Shouldn't they pay the coaches?
And you have to respect him.
Shouldn't they pay the coaches more?
No, I think they get paid too much now. But see, the point is that understand that football has to have discipline. A coach's job is to discipline those 53 men that he has. So you can't change what the coach want to do. Like the Hostetler and Snell fiasco was Hostetler was totally wrong. You don't have to get to nothing else. He was wrong.
Why?
Because he challenged the coach on the field of battle.
Right.
You don't challenge General MacArthur in the field of battle. Or General Eisenhower, you don't challenge them. What they say, wrong or right, gotta go.
You know, Hostetler rescinded those comments a couple of days later. Do you think that Schell really made it into a racist thing? Do you think?
No, I know Art very well, and Art wouldn't do a thing like that. But I'm saying, even before you get to those comments, he was wrong for whatever he said to the coach. For talking back. He was totally wrong. Now discipline is broken down when that happens. I mean, the coach put in the game plan. He's in charge of that. Only Al Davis can change that. You understand? The quarterback is the last guy, or any player is the last guy. Gee, when you allow that, then discipline is broke down. Okay? So what my point is that, as far as the racist part of it, I wouldn't believe that in a million years.
You don't think he called him you white quarterback?
Oh, man, if that had been Deacon, then yes, I probably would have said that. Deacon said that. Because I used to call Merlin white boy all the time, you know.
Did he call you black boy?
Oh, she got mad. We changed a lot of things. But he gets away with it because of the fact I know how he means it.
And you guys are good buddies.
Yeah, I know. Buddy had nothing to do with it. I know how he means it.
How did he mean it?
You know, you got to understand one thing. A friend can call you something, you know, and you know that it may be negative to the masses. But when the friend says it, you know it's not coming from here. It's a joke because it fits the situation that you both may be in. But then again, when it becomes a bigoted statement, is when you say it in a bigoted frame of mind. I bet any amount of money Art Schell wouldn't say this in a million years. His personality is not that way. If Deacon Jones would have been the head coach and in that position, then there's a good chance I may have said that.
And you would have gotten in trouble, didn't you?
No, with who? First of all, he wouldn't have come up in my face like that. Because I'd have dropped him right there on the sideline.
He wouldn't have gone that far.
No, he wouldn't have gone that far. We wouldn't have been talking about a racial slur.
Right.
We'd have been talking about a right hand. That's what we would have been talking about. First and foremost, Hostetler was dead wrong. Because he challenged authority. And he challenged it on national television.
O.J. Simpson, you're from Los Angeles. Spent so much time. I'm sure you knew or you know.
Oh, yeah.
O.J. Simpson, what do you think of that whole situation?
I know Juice very well. He and I used the same barbershop. I played against him from 1969 through my retirement in 1974. I've attended a lot of affairs community-wise with Juice. As I said, I played against him at the height of his career. I don't believe one minute that he could participate or administer this kind of pain on anybody. I don't know the answers to the legal questions that's tied to this case. And I don't think anyone knows that. We will find out in the ensuing months exactly what went down wrong. But if I had to answer the question right now about O.J. Simpson, whether he's innocent or whether he's guilty, that I would say, just like he says, he's unequivocally innocent of these charges. And it's going to take the proof in a court of law to convince me that he's capable of doing something like this. Until it's all put down on the table, and let's find out if O.J. Simpson is guilty. If he's guilty, then he has to suffer the consequences like any other American or any other person who committed a crime. But as a human being and the man that I know, I do not believe it until it's proven to me.
Thanks very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you ought to invite me more often.
I will.
Yeah, thank you. During the course of your career and after your career, and you know, one trophy is just like another trophy. You remember how you got it, why you got it, and things of that nature. But to rise up to the top, I was a 14th round draft choice. And to go all the way to the Hall of Fame and then take the next step, which was being a member of the 75th anniversary team. Those are things that cannot change ever in life. As long as footballers remember, those things will be remembered. And I will be a part of those things. And I will have given and paid my dues. And coming from that level of football to the top of the ladder gives me the supreme satisfaction.
Hope you enjoyed hearing my classic sports interview with the legendary defensive end, Deacon Jones. My thanks to Aaron Meager, the CEO of Beneficial Blends, and to Delaney Hefner in the studio. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here from 7 to 8 on Sports Interview with Ann Liguori.